AM W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. It literally rained on their parade, the traditional opening ceremony of the Summer Olympics in Paris. Though moist, still a spectacle to Vittoria Zanini, an Italian living in Paris.
We enjoy it, but of course it would be better without the rain, but the mood is amazing. Everyone is here to support the team, so it's incredible.
There have been widespread travel disruptions triggered by what French officials called coordinated arson attacks on high-speed rail lines. Now spreading to 278 square miles, larger than the city of Chicago, the area burned by a wildfire near Chico in Northern California. Over 130 buildings burned. Donald Trump welcoming Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to his Florida estate, their first face-to-face meeting in nearly 4 years. Two leaders of the notorious Sinaloa drug cartel are in federal custody, including the son of the infamous drug lord El Chapo. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News, your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A new study committee will look at how to manage Wisconsin's sandhill crane population and reduce the crop damage they cause. The group is made up of state lawmakers, farmers, and conservationists. There's talk of setting up a hunting season. The committee is expected to make recommendations later next year. The Summer Olympics start today. As Lisa Hale reports, Wisconsin will be well represented.
18 athletes from the Badger State will compete for Team USA in the Paris 2024 Olympics. The biggest name competing might be Indiana Pacers' Tyrese Halliburton. He's an Oshkosh native on the men's basketball team. The Paris Olympics officially kick off Friday and will last through August 11th. For Civic Media, I'm Lisa Hale.
And I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. A Duluth woman was arrested this week for allegedly stealing hundreds of dollars worth of fuel. According to the Cass County Sheriff's Office, the woman allegedly stole about $260 worth of fuel from a retailer in Hackensack on Monday, a few hours after reports of a $300 fuel theft in Bacchus. Law enforcement authorities believe more fuel thefts in the northern Minnesota and Wisconsin areas may be connected to the suspect and are encouraging local retailers to report any further thefts. The Duluth Police Department is searching for a suspect they believe set off a firework in the fountain outside City Hall on Thursday morning. According to law enforcement authorities, reports of an explosion near City Hall came in at around 7:30 a.m. on Thursday, and officials shortly thereafter determined that the explosion was a firework that had been set off in the fountain. Nobody was injured and the fountain was not damaged. Authorities shared a photo of the suspect and are looking for community help to identify him. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
It's the Brewers and the Marlins. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers open a three-game weekend series tonight against the Marlins. The Marlins have just added former All-Star Randy Arozarena following a trade with the Tampa Bay Rays. Meanwhile, it appears that Christian Yelich has opted for rest and rehab rather than undergo season-ending back surgery. The 32-year-old Yelich is on the IL for a second time this season with back problems. Yesterday, at Nationals Park in Washington, D.C., the Padres let right-hander Dylan Cease finish the game with 114 pitches and just three walks on the Padres radio network.
Abrams to right field. Johnson coming in. He makes the catch. No hits for the Nats. Dylan Cease throws a no-hitter. The second no-hitter in Padres history. There'll be a sea of San Diegans celebrating back home today.
The Padres won 3-0. NFL training camp. The Packers now practicing in pads today, tomorrow, and Sunday. Meanwhile, Jordan Love contract talks continue with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy, warm, and muggy tonight with a low only in the mid-60s. Mostly sunny, hot, and humid for the weekend. Highs in the upper 80s. Storms possible Sunday night, Monday. Highs in the low 80s. Most of the rest of next week looks drier and staying warm. Right now it's 80.
impact of a meal goes well beyond feeding our bodies, because feeling full can sound like this.
How did the interview go?
I did it! I got the job! I can't believe it!
And like this.
Mom, I got first place at the science fair with my volcano project!
That's amazing, sweetie. Congratulations!
Because when people are fed, futures are nourished, and everyone deserves to live a full life. Join the movement to end hunger at feedingamerica.org/act now. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
I was in a drive-thru line and forgot to order. I was on the phone, thought I ordered, and just stayed in line and got up to the window. There was no order for me. And I said to the guy, I go, can I just order now? And he was so condescending. And he goes, well, typically what we do, sir, here is we order back at the speaker, and this is where you pick it up. I've never felt so stupid in my entire life.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we'll take a look back at the weekend. And will Vice President Harris have a new VP? We'll catch up to speed. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Albaugh Show.
This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Yes, it is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. Right away, TGI. BPF, Johnny Lupinacci.
Yes, it is. Oh,
thank
yeah.
God it's Busted Pencils Friday. I do not know where these days are going. Holy crap. We start off the week, me and Jess. Here we are Friday already. What in the world is going on? I think part of it has to do with all of the excitement that has just lit us on fire. Yes, President Biden, you know, pass the torch over to Kamala Harris. And that has just generated, as you point out, Johnny, just you didn't even see it coming, this enthusiasm that this has brought to us. We keep bringing it every night, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, especially if you're listening live on the radio. But, Johnny, if you're not listening live on the radio, you know where else you can get this? The Civic Media app. You can always get Busted Pencils on the Civic Media app, even if you're in Finland, as we point out to our Finland listeners over there. Busted Pencils, download the app, Civic Media app, and then not just Busted Pencils, all of your Civic Media shows are there. You can listen to them live, or you can download every one of the shows that are a podcast to make sure you do not miss any part of this. And I'm going to admit this here, too. If you want to see our faces, and I'm a little embarrassed because my father told me about watching us online and what he witnessed, and he witnessed something. I'm going to admit I did, but this is one of the problems with not realizing you're on video. I know I'm typically a radio host, right? And I'm not thinking about this, but when you're on video on Facebook, like we are on YouTube, like we are on X, like we are, People could watch us, Johnny. And my dad said, you know, you might not want to pick your nose when Johnny's talking.
Oh, my goodness. No, I thought he was going to say I was.
No. Yes. He's like,
no,
he goes,
oh, no. Yes.
I'm like, oh, man, Dad. He goes, I'm just saying, you probably, when Johnny's talking, you might want to keep your hands down. I'm like, uh-oh. So there you go. That's truly bonus content as we keep talking to people as they're behind the scenes. If anybody saw that episode, please don't call in and tell us about it, because I already got
it
from my dad.
Call in so I can edit it.
Oh yeah.
Make that into a
promo. But Tim, you know what I have to go back and correct is I talked about this a couple of shows ago, and I loved this beer when I was in Madison. I was down at the Minocqua Brewing Company, and I had a Dark Biden, you know,
Dark Brandon,
and it was Dark Brandon beer. I don't follow this meme stuff, but you know, Kirk down at Minocqua Brewing Company is an excellent branding, you know, genius with this, and he had a Dark Brandon brew that is now a Hope brew. So I'm drinking a Hope brew here for the show tonight, and it's a good man. Is it good? And I got to say that that's authentic. It's good beer. Mm. But in addition to that, we're friends with the Minocqua Brewing Company folks. You know, Busted Pencils is excited, you know, and honored to be sponsored by Monaco Brewing Company. They're big time advocates for public schools in Wisconsin, and they're right there with us, Tim, connecting strong public education to a strong democracy. Man, we're going to talk more about strong democracy tonight. But Monaco Brewing Company is making Wisconsin great one beer at a time. Check out monacobrewingcompany.com to see where you can buy their progressive beer. And Tim, I'm going to tease it right now. You're going to be able to have a Monaco brew next week. And we'll get to, for listener out there wondering, wait, Tim's going to be in Madison live? He sure is. And I'll let him tease that for now and tell you more details about it later in the show. So stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
But man, Tim, Friday, yeah. TGI BPF, right? TGI BPF. And man, you know what I've come to really love about our Fridays?
Yeah.
Tim's trivia.
Oh, man.
Tim's trivia.
And let me tell you.
We're
going
to have some Tim's trivia tonight. We're going to have some Tim's trivia.
There it is right there. Okay. That's a lot in there. Okay. And the trivia is not going to be at what point in time and what episode did Tim pick his nose. Not that kind of trivia.
No.
Please. No. But we definitely got some bonus trivia. I'll give you a hint to the trivia.
Should we get into it or should we get into it?
We're going to be talking about,
where are we going?
We're
going
to be talking about drainage when we're dealing with
the, oh my goodness,
trivia. Yes, drainage. Who knew that? And founding fathers in drainage. Little bit of a hint right there about where the trivia is going. So anybody who's
drain the swamp, drain the swamp.
Well, you know, thinking about it, you know, so founding fathers and drainage, those are your clues to the trivia question. I'm not going to put it out there wholeheartedly yet. Just give some people that opportunity to get those wheels grinding, you know, those mice in the head spinning, whatever it is you have up there, the noggin, the noodle. Get it charged up, or if you're throwing it into ChatGPT or Gemini or Claude, whatever you want to do.
Or if you're throwing back a Hope
Brew. No, the Hope Brew, though, too, that's a special mix, or is that just the brand?
No.
It's the Dark
Brandon.
It's
just a rebrand of Dark Brandon, and okay. It's just as good.
All right, nice. I love that. And again, the language, Hope. Hope. And we felt that. I think that's what we've been saying this week, is that there's this genuine sense of hope that has come over, and people are like, well, you know, wasn't that happening with President Biden? The answer is no, it wasn't. It wasn't. It was the contrast of going, oh my God, anything but the Trump administration. And yes, if it's President Biden, we're going to vote for him, but there's no excitement and the hope was there and it felt desperate. And now Kamala Harris stepping in as the presumptive nominee, again, still not official yet because we have to have a convention where she gets all of the nominations and she proudly accepts the Democratic nomination. But here it is. And we're going, wow, what a week. So, Johnny, you really had that sense of surprise that you were going to feel like this.
Well, no, I mean, we kind of knew this move would happen, and we talked about how
I mean, you were surprised about yourself and how this lifted you in a way that you weren't ready for.
Yeah, I was surprised. I'm surprised by the energy, and I'm excited about it. The re-energizing, not so much of myself, but like really with everyone I talk to who have been really gloom and doom for maybe too long. I won't even admit how long, but really kind of meh about things and not too optimistic. And literally overnight, man, that just took, it just flipped. Mm-hmm. And it was good. Like sometimes you need a swift kick in the rear. And this kind of move, I didn't know was going to be that kind of that boost, that, you know, that shot in the arm, that kick in the behind. It really was. And wow, people are energized. They're excited. The buzz of talking about politics.
Yes.
Remember, we talked about small talk being really important in last year's 20 lessons from the 20th century. We're going to get to next week's this show, so stay tuned to that as well. But last week's was, you know, small talk. And the small talk has been around politics, and it isn't about gloom and doom, and it isn't the kind of, I'm tired of this, although it's true, so I don't want to belittle it. I'm tired of the, what are we going to do if Trump wins? Oh, no, it's so bad. Project 2025. Yeah, it's terrible. It's not new. Right. The Heritage Foundation has been putting out policies like that forever. But it is especially scary and dangerous because they have always put those out, but they've never had as much influence on a potential presidential cabinet and administration. And so they would have that with Trump. And so all of the small talk around politics, you know, and small talk isn't always politics. It's sometimes just a welcoming hello or how's it going. Sure. But, you know, the small talk has bled into politics in a way that it felt almost taboo for a little while. It felt too gloomy, too attacked, too connected to bad feelings. And I was pleasantly surprised and energized by the buzz that's going around in all generations. So around folks who are a little older, around folks who are a little younger, you know, I'm kind of right in the middle on that. And they're all talking and their eyes get big and they're like, hey, what do you think's going to happen? This is exciting. So, man, I'm excited, you know.
I'm excited, too. And what, going to that, there was an article, I think it was in CNN, not sure for exactly, but they were talking to some older voters in Pennsylvania and kind of getting their feeling about this change. And, Johnny, just to highlight, you know, to emphasize your point, these are people that really did identify with Biden and said that during the time up to the move of removing him, they didn't feel good the way that it was happening. They didn't like this. But then all of a sudden, now that Kamala Harris is in it, they've got this renewed excitement. And they themselves were saying, wow, I didn't realize how much energy I had lost on President Biden. Not that I didn't support him, not that I didn't wish him well, but that the energy that Kamala Harris has now brought to even these older voters' perspective, and I got to bring that all the way down too. My daughter and I have been having, Johnny, those small conversations around Kamala Harris. Guess what? You know what? I am all now learning into being what it means to be brat. You know, because Kamala, you know, and my daughter informed me that,
but
I didn't have any right to know that yet because it was something that her generation owns.
I love this, Tim. And I got another one for you and you can run this by your daughter as well. Are we ready for a feminine nominon?
Nice.
A feminine nominon. I'll let you know, like, see if you can figure out where that's coming from. But Tim, before we get too far into things, because I'm excited about another thing too. We had a guest last week, Thursday, Randy Weingarten. And man, you know, it's no secret that I'm a union kid. I'm a union guy. I'm a blue collar scholar. I like being in a union shop wherever I'm at. It's been a stalwart of my whole life through the ups and downs, because just because you're in a union doesn't mean everything's smooth sailing, right? That's the thing. Democracy is messy, but it's so important. Man, I was stoked to hear the things being said from the AFT conference. So we're going to get into that tonight, too, a little bit more from the exciting stuff from Busted Pencils, one of our favorite guests recently, Randy Weingarten. But before we get into that, Tim, you know, man, we got to get to Tim's trivia.
We got to get to the Mike trivia. Okay, here's the question. I'm going to put it out there right now. What founding father had his hands in flexible drainage systems? What founding father had his hands in flexible drainage systems? And if you know that one, I'm going to tell you this too. It's to get this question, you got to get two parts, the founding father, but then you got to expand on what we mean there. So it's not just right in, it's so-and-so. Okay. That'll get you halfway there. We want to know more. What founding father had his hands in flexible drainage systems? It's Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. Yeah, when we come back to, let's hit a little bit of Kamala Harris at the AFT conference. Listen a little bit to that. So stay tuned. Kamala Harris AFT conference and Tim's trivia when we get back.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Few Wisconsin events bring 600,000 people together from 80 different countries, but it happens every summer in Oshkosh.
Oshkosh has become synonymous with the world of flight and with EAA.
Dick Napinski's worked with EAA Air Venture for more than 30 years and knows its history. Do you? Where did EAA start? Wausau, La Crosse, or Milwaukee? The answer coming up. The fly-in is spread across 1,600 acres with more than 10,000 airplanes. It brings a big boost to the economy, too.
It's $170 million of economic impact and more than $110 million of direct spending.
So where did EAA start? Milwaukee in 1953 called the Wisconsin Air Pageant with 21 planes. All moved to Oshkosh in 1970, a high-flying slice of Wisconsin. It's happening July 22nd to the 28th. I'm Terry Barr.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
There we go. Busted Pencils, fully leaded, education talk, educated educators talking education, TGIBPF. Yes, thank God it's Busted Pencils Friday. Tim's trivia, the question out there, the number though, 855-752-4842, or we'll take it at, you know, you can text it in too, either through the Facebook, through the X, however you want to do that. But what founding father had his hands in flexible drainage systems? That's the question. The number is 855-752-4842. Johnny, talking about last week, and again, the excitement going in with Kamala Harris, and then a great guest we had actually a week ago, AFT President Randy Weingarten. And Jess, though, we got to hit that Kamala Harris at the AFT convention about what we do and what they do. So Jess, ready for that? All right, let's play that.
While you teach students about democracy and representative government, extremists attack the sacred freedom to vote. While you try to create safe and welcoming places where our children can learn, extremists attack our freedom to live safe from gun violence. They have the nerve to tell teachers to strap on a gun in the classroom. While they refuse to pass common sense gun safety laws. And while you teach students about our nation's past, these extremists attack the freedom to learn and acknowledge our nation's true and full history, including book bans. Book bans in this year of our Lord 2024. And on these last two issues, just think about it. So we want to ban assault weapons, and they want to ban books. Can you imagine?
There it is, right there. Johnny, you hear Kamala Harris there, and I think, you know, the pitch, obviously her audience, AFT, mostly teachers, even though we've cleared up that the AFT also represents more than teachers. But boy, coming at that, the attacks that we've seen over the past 18 months on teaching truth, you know, history, the attacks on what they say critical race theory, would really turns into going, we don't want you to teach about the truths of America that we would like to forget about. Sorry. Yeah. And then again, you know, when it comes to this reality of what kids fear the most, the idea that kids truly think about daily when they're in class, you know, whether there's going to be a school shooting. And the reality is that we're trying to ban assault weapons and trying to put that in their banning books. Just again, the contrast that Kamala Harris did there in front of the AFT, I think, was so powerful.
Oh, yeah, I agree, Tim, 100%. I mean, that's the kind of contrast that we're talking about here, is really focusing in on that, the kind of the history of things into this contemporary moment, like really the juxtaposition of the choice that's before all of us, right? We have to gather that information. We have to take it in. We have to decide, like, yes, we do have to have some regulations on things. Do we want more regulation on books, or do we want more regulation on like assault weapons and school shootings? Right. I mean, these we shouldn't make light of them, but they're almost comical in terms of they couldn't be like further opposites, right? In taking this country in opposite directions, stronger, safer, right? Or, you know, more chaotic and dangerous. Like, how do we make that choice? You know, and I've said that in past elections too. And so, I mean, it's just really important that energy I've been talking about, the way that both Kamala is bringing light to these situations, but also her endorsers, the way that they're speaking really clearly and matter of fact about not only what's on the line, but attaching that what's on the line are these things and then fill in the blank.
Right.
Right. I think that's been the shift we've needed in American politics. And I'm glad it's here. I hope it stays there. Right. Because we really need to ride that all the way through November and really into like the next decade. The next decade of American politics really needs to be about strengthening change, about really recognizing all of the different ways we come together for the common good in our community. And that's embracing that thing. Dare we say it? I'll say it openly, Tim. I know you and Jess, both our supporters, many listeners out there listening to us support this, but we got to be really, really direct about it. The change is about valuing and supporting diversity as a strength in all the ways. Diversity is differences that make us who we are. They're the condition of difference by which everything exists. You don't have democracy without diversity, right? Diversity exists without democracy, but it suffers, right? And people and communities suffer when we're not valuing diversity. And so when I hear that and the dialogue coming from the endorsers of Kamala Harris, I hear that from Kamala Harris, and I hope we continue to contrast that with the opposition, but really more so just thinking about the momentum we're building into the next decade that this country can choose to have ahead of it.
Yes, right on all of that stuff. And just thinking about those two, coming back to Kamala speaking to teachers there and just making that contrast. And it made me think about L.A. Tom last night saying, you know, he was concerned potentially that teacher Hallie, you know, might be a little bit more critical and pushing. And I think pushing, and this is, you know, right, the way Kamala approached teachers in that speech, let's continue that, Harris team, bring that forward, because we're going to push you on that, because what you said was so powerful and so profound. And that's when you hear Teacher Hallie and Teacher Joanna going, I'll wait and see. You know, I'm a little bit excited, but you know what? When it comes down to public education, it comes down to teachers. When it gets into the thick of things, they're saying, hey, occasionally, or not occasionally, maybe more often than not, this whole teachers and public education thing kind of takes a back seat. And all of a sudden it's like, blah, 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 blah. Now, that doesn't mean that the contrast of the Republicans is something that they're cheering for. But when it comes to Democrats over the years have not really made teachers very excited. In fact, they have largely, in one way, sold a lot of what we do in public education out to the right for profit, for a lot of people that didn't have your kids, your neighborhoods, your teachers' best interests at heart. So we're going to bring that back right there. Hey, nobody on the trivia yet. I got to put it out there again. What founding father had his hands in flexible drainage systems? The number is 855-752-4842. Jess and Johnny are trying their best to kind of see if they can get at it. I don't know, just using a little help there, not artificial intelligence, but something else. So it's Busted Pencils. It's Fully Leaded Education Talk. Educated educators talking education. Yep. When we get back, though, little breaking down what it's been all week. And if you can call in, first person, stay tuned. Answer next segment.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Kamala Harris's husband campaigns in Wisconsin this weekend. Doug Emhoff will speak at the Hmong Festival in Wausau and to a Democratic gathering in Stevens Point tomorrow. Vice President Harris became the presumptive Democratic nominee after President Biden left the race on Sunday. One of America's oldest nonprofit healthcare providers still struggles with growing its brand. Kendra Davenport is the president of Easter Seals.
61 million Americans identify as being disabled. That's a quarter of the American population. More people need to understand just how many people are disabled so that we can ensure that our world becomes more inclusive, more equitable, and more accessible.
Easter Seals serves 1.5 million Americans with disabilities. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. St. Louis County officials have announced the road closure on Woodland Avenue in Duluth will be extended through August 10th. According to a WDIO report, the closure for through traffic between St. Paul Avenue and Northfield Street was originally planned to be lifted by the end of July. County officials now say that because of higher than normal rainfall, the milling and paving project was delayed and will now last a couple of weeks longer. Duluth drivers should continue to use the posted detour route through the area. The city of Rice Lake is looking to make major upgrades on one of its main roads to improve traffic flow and boost the local economy and quality of life. According to a Northern News Now report, the $45.5 million roadway reconstruction project on Rice Lake Road would make improvements to pedestrian and bike lanes and roundabout intersections. Officials say construction likely won't begin until 2028. The project would expand on a crucial corridor for Duluth commuters and trucking companies. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Another season of horrible television is in the books after the Kardashians' season 5 finale. In riveting fashion, they all learn their biological ages, with O.J. Simpson's daughter Chloe learning that despite being 39, a TV quack doctor hired to protect the brand informed the least popular sister her biological age is actually 28. Whatever the hell that means. Other Kardashians who fared well were mom Kris, who found out she's actually 6 years younger than her actual age of 68. Kim Kardashian's real age is 43, but her biological age is 34. No word on what any of their plastic surgery ages are. In other news from the season finale, Kim Kardashian joked that after watching The Crown, she can totally rule a country, saying she's learned so much from a TV show. She felt the same way about boating after watching Gilligan's Island. Kardashian says she's excited to enter the actress phase of her career, seeming to forget she did a few very low-budget independent films years ago that launched her career. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy, warm, and muggy tonight with a low only in the mid-60s. Mostly sunny, hot, and humid for the weekend. Highs in the upper 80s. Storms possible Sunday night, Monday. Highs in the low 80s. Most of the rest of next week looks drier and staying warm. Right now it's 80.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Matt Nair on air.
John Ellingson is our guest. He's one of the co-directors of the Eau Claire Coupe League.
It's a Swedish yard game. You would toss a baton trying to knock down your opponent's coupes.
You have teams from all over the country. What are some of the other names that stuck out to you?
Coupe Hand Luke.
Nice. Yeah.
The Salty Batons.
Oh. Do you call the last 16 teams the Swedish 16?
Oh, I'm writing that down. That's pretty good.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pat Kreitlow.
On Monday, one of the doctors participating in Ride to Decide, a national bus tour, speaking out about the real physical danger of state-based abortion bans.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
My fingers don't move that fast anymore for the guitar. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. 855-752-4842. For those of you watching on the video screen, no, I am not picking my nose, but Jess can see that I have my headphones displayed the way she likes to see them. My left ear gets really hot, and so I gotta give it some breathing space.
I get that. My left ear, too. It's never the right one. It's always the left one that's getting too warm.
It just gets too hot. So, welcome back, Busted Pencils. So, all right, let's put it out there again. Tim's trivia. What founding father had his hands in flexible drainage systems? I will admit that between Johnny and Jess, the answer in our little private chat, they did come up with the right answer, and they did also identify what that unique thing was. What about you out there? I'm going to throw another hint out there. Pain and stone.
Can you ask a chat? Can you ask a chat bot, an AI?
You could try, but I'm going to say that this has a lot to do with the removal of pain and stones. Pain and stones. Founding father, flexible drainage system, pain and stones. There are the hints out there. We'll let this one float a little bit longer before we take this in. Johnny, back to vice presidential, though, comparisons we started doing last night, because that is the talk. Who is Kamala going to choose? We laid out Josh Shapiro yesterday, my boy from PA, and we're like, not feeling it from a public education standpoint. Huge supporter of private vouchers, particularly vouchers that have no accountability, and charter schools that have no accountability to the public that funds them. So Josh Shapiro, it doesn't mean that he doesn't have a lot of stuff going for him. As you said, Johnny, you know, first of all, Pennsylvania, huge electoral state and pretty much a rock star in the state. But hasn't signed any legislation.
Jess,
on that.
Jess, hit me more.
He has declared support for vouchers in theory as something to help support some very specific situations. He has not signed any legislation having to do with vouchers. He has increased funding to public education.
Yes, he has. And you know why he hasn't signed any legislation? Because they thwarted the legislation that he agreed to sign, which was a pro-voucher legislation. That legislation did not make it to him. That's why he didn't sign it. So there are a little bit more on the facts. You know, but in your talk, and I know, Johnny, Michigan boy, big Gretch keeps saying, we're going to do a little comparison too, because I think Gretchen Whitmer, we said that the double, you know, gender, two women coming at this will be powerful. But, you know, there are people out there whose names have been floated, and I floated this one earlier in the week, Tim Walz, Minnesota governor. A couple of people are like, well, what's he all about? Like, why is he popular? And I caught him on MSNBC with Jen Psaki today doing some chatting. And I was like, man, I kind of hear it. Jess, in fact, we have a little bit of that Tim Walz audio specifically dealing with vouchers. Let's play that for everybody.
Yeah, so a little bit of context. The question is, J.D. Vance sort of presents himself as representing middle America. But what does he get wrong about middle America?
Pretty much everything, and he profited off it. I'll start out with is he misreads this in Hillbilly Elegy about this some type of cultural angst or whatever. No, we're angry because robber barons like him gutted middle America. They took our jobs. And then they try and tell you that school vouchers are the thing to go on. Look, I went to a high school, 400 people in the town, 24 kids in my class, 12 cousins. Ed Pebble was my government teacher. He did a hell of a good job. And look, you think you're going to build a private school in the town? Like, who's going to pay for it? You know how this works. They pull the money out of the public schools. They stick it in the private schools for vouchers for people who are already going there. J.B. Vance knows nothing about that.
I will say, I didn't actually speed him up. That's just the speedy talk set.
Yeah, I mean, he was.
That dude is ripping through his words, man.
Ripping through his words, and I tell you, I've heard him speak actually very slowly in the past, and so I was kind of like, whoa, he just like threw that out there. seemed very unrehearsed to the point where it truly came from the heart. And the reality there, too, of putting in that perspective of which we've done here on Busted Pencils, realizing that, man, rural schools, a lot of places, Wisconsin, we know this, that the push to get rural schools in Wisconsin to accept vouchers, they've been holding them back. The push in Tennessee, they've been holding them back. Texas, they've been holding them back. The reality here, too, where we hear Tim Walz kind of laying this out, is that where do private school vouchers end up going? They never go to the rural districts because we don't get that type of help or that sense right there. And the money typically goes to people who are already in private schools, and so it actually bleeds money out of those rural schools. I'm feeling a little bit of Tim Walz right now thinking, maybe this guy has something going for him.
Whoa, Tim, that's the bell every day on Busted Pencils. That bell rings, and what happens? We go right into democracy in action. Whew, Tim, it's a tough one this week. There's been a lot of really good examples of democracy in action. And I have to tell you, as you sent me all these these bits of information, and Jess coming in really great with the information too on these VP for the Democratic Party hopefuls. Let's dig in. Let's look at who's who and kind of have sort of our prospects and favorites as we head in. One thing across all of them, and I did hear it too when you were just sharing our fellow from Minnesota. I really hear this, and I think it's a good example. So today's democracy and example goes to all these people in the Democratic Party who are hopefuls, who are Busted Pencils prospects for possibilities to be on a Harris ticket, right? I hear them all representing the importance of diversity, differences in language, dress, food, where parents or grandparents were born, race and religion are not only allowed, right, but they're accepted as important, right? We're talking about moving into an era where difference is valued. And that ought to be a baseline, but that's one of the core democratic values. To me, it's a condition upon all of our existence in health is diversity. And all of these candidates, for the most part, and we'll get into it, there are some that do this better than others, but all of them value diversity. And that's a core democratic value. That's democracy in action. So tonight's democracy in action, you know, to wrap up this week of them, is going to all these prospects who in their work and in their daily life value diversity. It ought to be the bottom line, but you know what? In this day and age, it isn't. Mm-hmm. Because I will tell you what, I don't know many running, especially on the Republican ticket, that I can say that about.
No.
And that's not me just picking on Republicans, because you know what? I want Democrats to be held to the same kind of scrutiny that we're holding the right to. I just think if you're not valuing diversity, boom, out of the way, this country is headed in a direction where we're going to be stronger, healthier, and better for it.
I would say, yeah, and there it is. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. Truly on that one too, Johnny, pointing that out, the diversity, and I always appreciate the connection too, that a strong democracy is absolutely contingent on diversity. And I would say, you know, the contrast
correction. Yep. I got to interrupt you because diversity is a condition of difference upon which everything exists.
Right. Right.
So democracy, a strong democracy, is a way of organizing so that we can value that existing condition, or we can ignore it in less democratic government forms or ways of organizing. So it's there whether we organize in support of it or not. You can't eliminate it or we wouldn't be here, right? There is no such, it's sort of like saying, do we value clean air, right? The air is there, but what we do and how we live, you know, it really adjusts that. So diversity, sort of like one of those games I often play when I'm teaching, like put diversity and democracy together in a sentence, right? And that helps us really remember that diversity is a condition of difference that exists. How we as communities of people organize, say it be democratically, offers us the opportunity to value that condition upon which we all exist.
And like you said, the valuing right now that we at least hear coming out of the Democratic Party is we can hear that. And Johnny, you point this out.
I hear it, man.
You hear it. You hear it. But you know,
that's a direction we can go. That's a baseline agreement that I think builds solidarity. The LA Tom caller talked about yesterday, that Randy Weingarten talks about being important. The unity and the solidarity as we move forward and we hold people running for office in this country accountable by record. Right. What is, we contrast that. We, the voters, look at it closely. Right. And we don't just fork over our rights. We say this is what we believe is an important way to be. We're going to organize democratically. We're going to value diversity and so much more that comes with that. We own that and we move with it. We roll right into November that way and right into, I'm saying it, the next decade of politics in this country.
And you said the contrast right now, in fact, the Republicans are absolutely attacking diversity. In fact, even making the comment with Kamala Harris, the DEI candidate. I mean, the reality that they're putting forward there, Johnny, is saying no diversity. In fact, they're trying to pitch diversity as a weakness. And it's just like, okay, you know, you might have had a little bit of a time there where you had this kind of rambling around diversity, equity, inclusion. That stuff's pushing back on them going, well, it's like when you hear the way you explain it, Johnny, the conditions, well, the conditions, diversity is a required condition for life.
It's also manipulative to their own advantage, because ask any one of those people who tell you diversity is a weakness, ask them if they're willing to share their portfolio. And then ask them what kind of portfolio they have. And the very first answer they ought to have, unless they're not wealthy and they're interested in the Republican Party for some reason, is they're going to say, I have a diverse portfolio. Or ask anybody in a rural community about the importance of not monocropping. Mm-hmm. Or ask any, like, these are every ways we can have, everyday ways we can have conversations that help reclaim diversity from the rhetoric of saying it's weak. That to me is a sign of either manipulation or disinformation, intentionally trying to make something seem not valuable or strong to us. And I just think we're headed in a different direction. Like that myth is busted. It's long, you know, long gone.
Myth busting. Yeah, it happens on Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded Education Talk. Educated educators talking education. Oh, yes. Reminding listeners, it still is TGIBPF Friday, which means it's Tim's Trivia. What founding father had his hands in flexible drainage systems? Oh, putting out their pain stones. And Jess, I'll throw out that other hint. A little personal plumbing, potentially. There is another hint to put forward out there. Founding father had his hands in a flexible drainage system, dealing with stones and pain and personal plumbing. Man, putting it out there a lot. We're going to hold this too, and we're going to make sure. But man, we got to get some answers on this one, Johnny Lupinacci. You know, I mean, this is where, it's a beautiful Friday, though. I get it. You know, I think right here today, it has been a long time coming. It's like 75 degrees and sunny with a breeze. Ooh. You know, right now I would be, if I wasn't here, I'd probably be, you know, outside sitting in the back deck enjoying myself on a wonderful Friday evening. But we still have the trivia. It's still out there. Jess, Tim Walz, though. Before we go into break, I know we got another segment. I oopsed and didn't see that we were going to play that little bit. We have time to play this before we cut off into commercial.
What do you want?
The neighbors.
Okay.
Middle America, you earn it. But you know what? You're not on your own. Neighbors help neighbors. And I will, this one bothers me. I heard you talking about punching back at the bullies. They see people less fortunate as scapegoats and you know, punchlines for their jokes. We see them as neighbors.
Right there. Talking about busted pencils, we're always talking about your neighbor. My neighbor, sometimes too, he's cranky, but man, I am always here to support my neighbor. Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded Education Talk, 855-752-4842. Founding father, flexible drainage, personal plumbing, stones. Stay tuned for the answer when we get.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt Nair on Air.
Donald Trump brags he nominated the justices who overturned Roe v. Wade, getting rid of the constitutional right to abortion.
Well, I did something that nobody thought was possible. I got rid of Roe v. Wade. For 54 years, they were trying to get Roe v. Wade terminated, and I did it, and I'm proud to have done it.
Donald Trump not only took away abortion rights, he wants to monitor pregnant women and punish those who seek an abortion. Just listen.
Do you believe in punishment for abortion, yes or no, as a principle?
The answer is that there has to be some form of punishment.
For the woman?
Yeah.
Banning abortion, monitoring and punishing women. That's how far Trump might go in a second term. Visit abetterwisconsintogether.org/TrumpMonitor to tell Donald Trump his views on abortion are too extreme for Wisconsin. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Man, some hard coming back in there. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. You're like, what is that music? That's Seven Dust. Yes, we got to remind people, Seven Dust, and that is a rendition of School's Out. You can check it out, especially at the end of the show. You get a little bit more of that. Busted Pencils, though, always trying to bring some of the music. Johnny Lupinacci, okay.
School's almost back in, Tim. So,
I know, right?
Soaking up that summer.
We always say, though, School's Out, you know, at the end of our show, though, this is why I love that song, though, it works out, because we, you know, kind of think about Busted Pencils Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. It's kind of like we're in school here, not schooling that Johnny Lupinacci doesn't like, but this is, you know, schooling around what we wish and what we value and how we see what schooling and education could be.
It's educated educators talking education, fully leaded education talk. Nowhere in that did we talk about schools, because school is too often about, you know, the sit in your desk. Don't look at the answers at the back of the book. Read the chapter and then answer the questions. Get ready. Get your pencils sharpened, because we got a bubble test coming up. Right. That's too much of the womp, womp, womp. That's schooling. Right. We're about educated educators talking education with a whole lot of educated folks out there. And what we know schools have done, it's done a great job of separating people out who believe that they're educated just because they went to school. Mm. And there are people out there who think because they didn't do good in school, they're not educated. There couldn't be a further thing from the truth. We are all really important. All of your voices matter. And that's what we're here talking about. How do we figure out better way to support our public education system?
Education.
So that we can liberate education from the throes of schooling, right? And so that does mean schools and schools get better. And we believe that's possible, or we wouldn't be here chatting it up with you all, right?
Chopping
we wouldn't
it up.
Be talking about this on a Friday afternoon. I'm sitting on the beach, man. I'd
oh
be
my
out
God.
There just laying in the sand. But now I'm here because I believe that public education is the bedrock of a strong democracy. And we are at a moment where our democracy is getting stronger. And that's a powerful moment, and I'm here for it. I'm glad to be here with you, Tim, and Jess. Just saying. It's an exciting moment.
That's a bold statement, man, because even I'd say we've been, you know, worried about democracy. You just put out a very positive, bold statement there, Lupinacci.
Yeah, man, you liberate education from schooling, and democracy's getting stronger and stronger. And I hear that because I hear lots of conversations that are about being educated. And I don't mean like because you did good in school or you got a great grade on a test. I mean because you're taking in information, you're processing it, you're thinking about it, you're developing how you feel about it, and you're connecting those towards, dare we say it, the common good, right? Core democratic value. You're thinking about, what does this information do to make myself and my community better? Right. And that's when that's happening, Tim, democracy's getting stronger.
Love it. Community-based public schooling, truly the foundation of democracy. All right, John, I'm going to put this out there. We're going to let this question sink, and the answer's coming in pretty soon, though. What founding father had his hands in inflexible drainage systems dealing with pain and stones and personal plumbing? That's the question out there. The number is 855-752-4842. Not going to hold on much longer before we reveal the whole story behind flexible drainage systems.
Yeah, well, I got you, Tim. I got you. You hold on to Tim's trivia. Listener, come on. You still got time to get in and give an answer. But while we're waiting for Tim, let's go into... Oh, I love that, man. I love that music. Oof. You know what that means? 20 from the 20th century. 20 lessons from the 20th century. Timothy Snyder, he outlines these, and I think they're incredibly important for the time. And I want to say that next week's lesson from our guy, Timothy Snyder, who gives us 20 lessons from the 20th century in his book, On Tyranny, right?
There you go.
Nice. I like this one. Lesson one. Listen to it. Do not obey in advance. Most of the power of fascism, authoritarianism, or, you know, in the power in weakening democracy is actually freely given, right? In times like these, it's us, the people, that need to think ahead about we want more from our government. And we have to talk to each other about what repressive or authoritarian or anti-democratic government wants and will be like. We need to be really clear, right, that we will not hand over democracy. A citizen who adapts in this way is teaching power what it can do. And in fact, L.A. Tom calls and he reminds, we the people. And I mean that, emphasize that. We will not fork over our power in advance. And as we roll into the summer and as we roll into the election this fall, it is on us, right, the people, to be really clear about what we want and to talk really openly about what will come if we vote one way or the other. And that's really, you rarely catch Johnny Lupinacci talking in an either or, but that is what this is about. And I'll remind us, we have to be able to not fork over the power in advance. Very seldom are fascist governments taken violently. They're often given to the powers that have them.
We're not going to do that here. It's Busted Pencils fully leaded education. Man, somebody, Southeast Ohio, hugging hate Vance, pretending to be my folk, and it pees me off. Love you guys, though. Hey.
Yeah, I hear you,
know,
you, man.
And I know that. I saw that area code. I'm like, that is Southeast Ohio right there, Jess. I know it came in on the Madison line. Tim's trivia. Okay, what was it? Man, Benjamin Franklin and the flexible catheter. Who knew that the catheter... Even back then, they were doing catheters. His brother John suffered immensely from bladder stones, and the only way to relieve the pain of a bladder stone was to catheter up into the bladder to allow the urine to come out. Oh, so
speaking
painful.
Of that,
yeah.
Speaking painful, of that, painful. Tim, thanks for dropping it. But speaking of it, I told you I threw back a Hope Brew, Minocqua Brewing Company, coming through big time. And in fact, as soon as we go off the air, I got to do that catheter free. But that's part of it, man. So Tim's trivia tonight, all the great things. Listeners, it's been a week with you. Appreciate you. We got special things live from Madison. Tim next week at the Wisconsin Public Educator Network Conference. Stay tuned. We'll see you next week.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Crude and Dom.
The Kamala Sugar High continues on the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the very next one. But the ice picks are coming out for her. Tune in.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in quick podcast format? Search no more. Find it now on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com. Your news just for the Superior area. I'm James Kelly with WBZH News.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is the Buzz of the North.
WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.